time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, we're back with another episode of Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough of the Manitoba Historical Society. And we're going to a place that is not abandoned today because it is Gordon Goldsborough's mind. We're going in there to find out how Gordon finds what he finds and how he researches it. Welcome back.
Glad to be here, Terry.
How do you find these abandoned sites?
Well, people often want to know because they seem to think, I guess, I'm fixated on abandoned places. But actually, it's broader than that. My interest is in historical sites of a wide nature. I mean, not just abandoned ones, but inevitably, as you're traveling about, it turns out a lot of them that I find, in fact, are abandoned. So how do I find them? Well, I think there's four main ways. One is that there are items that I've just heard about through, you know, contacts I've had over the years. For example, listeners may recall I talked about the little telecommunications buildings along Highway Number 2.
Oh, yes.
Every 40 miles,
right, there's
one of these buildings. And I had driven by those things as a kid and many times, and I always wondered, what the heck are those little buildings? So it was more my curiosity and wanting to find out what the story was behind them. Or the residential school at Birtle. I mean, of course, there's been so much attention paid recently to the residential school program. My interest was, well, are any of them still standing? And of course, I found out that there are several still standing. And one of them, of course, at Birtle is now vacant. Or the sanatorium at Ninette. I mean, so many people have contacted me through the years saying, you know, that they had loved ones who lived and in some cases died at
or
the sanatorium.
Or worked there.
The couples that met there and married. You know, there's been so much history at that building. And I thought, well, it's probably all gone. But no, I found that, in fact, the buildings are still there. And so I wanted to document those things.
Okay, so your first method is personal curiosity. What's your second method?
Well, another one is just plain serendipity.
And what do you mean by that?
I'm driving the countryside, and a lot of times I'm going to a particular place that I have done some research on. Along the way, for no apparent reason, just there's something I never expected.
And you stop the truck and get out?
Oh, absolutely. Well, so I was looking, for example, for a monument for an old United Church near a place called Matchettville. And as I was moving towards the monument, or where I knew the monument to be, lo and behold, there's a little building across the road. And it was like, well, that sure looks like a school. And sure enough, it was a school. And the curious thing was that it had this big hole in the side of it, which, of course, drew my attention immediately. So I didn't expect to find that. It was just a complete accident.
And where's Matchettville, by the way?
North of Treherne.
Okay. Yep. Now, and what's your third method?
Well, I always depend on local advice. You know, there are numerous people out there who are interested in history.
Oh, and people have taken to phoning me and saying, has Gordon looked into this?
Well, and they contact me too, and I'm very glad to get those contacts too because, you know, a lot of times that's the only way I would know. I mean, these are sometimes very obscure places that are hard to find. You know, so for example, one of the listeners contacted me a while ago to tell me about the Cordite plant east of Winnipeg, you know, this once vast manufacturing facility,
yes,
for munitions.
Yes.
And I didn't know anything at all about it. It was only because of that person that I had then had started to do some digging and found that location and learned more about it. Or the bombing and gunnery school east of Dauphin.
Well, that was quite a story.
I had driven by that site literally dozens, maybe hundreds of times, never knew it was there. And of course, it was only because someone said to me locally, hey, did you know about the bombing and gunnery school? Well, there you go. You know, and there's so many cases like that of things that I never knew about that I really do depend on people's advice. So that's why I say to anyone listening, if you know about some cool place, I really would like to hear from you.
The Manitoba Glassworks, you found out about that with some advice from someone, right?
Absolutely. Well, in fact, what I discovered was that there's a gentleman here in Manitoba who is the expert on the Manitoba Glassworks. He has been researching it probably over 25 years. I mean, he knows everything about it. And he's been very generous. He has shared whatever he knows about it. You know, it turns out the official story isn't quite right. And in fact, there's been some fairly consistent misreporting of facts about it. He set the record straight. So again, the local knowledge is just so important.
Now, your final technique?
Well, ultimately, research. You know, I spend time at places like the provincial archives. I go to the legislative library. For example, I found a map showing where all the one-room schoolhouses used to be located in Manitoba. And I thought, well, I wonder how many of those schools are still standing, or at least that there's something, some remains of them left. So what I often do, and this is something that anyone can do, I use Google Earth.
Well, what for?
Well, Google Earth has satellite imagery, and the quality of that imagery, for some parts of the province at least, is remarkably good. You can zoom right in and see all kinds of things. You can see, for example, buildings that might be there. So if I know that there used to be a school at a particular location, and I zoom in with Google Earth, and they, oh, there is a building there. I wonder if it's the school. I'll put a little note there in my to-do log. I actually have a list of to-do places, and I'll make a little note so that the next time I'm in that area, I'll go and check it out. So, for example, one of the sites that I am always interested in are the locations of old bridges. And I found a lot of them, over 100 old bridges so far. And one of the things I often do is this with Google Earth, I just follow rivers. Because, of course, if the bridge is still there, it'll be visible over spanning the river. So last summer, for example, I found what I thought looked like a bridge. The resolution of the Google Earth imagery wasn't very good, but it looked like it might be a bridge. So again, I made a note to myself. I ended up having to go through a farmer's pasture through his cattle herd. And lo and behold, there was an old bridge there. It was built in 1919. It was destroyed. I mean, there was really nothing left of it, really. But it was still obviously a bridge. And then subsequently, I found information about it at the provincial archives. So
if you're an abandoned site in Manitoba, be very, very nervous because sleuth Gordon Goldsboro is going to find you.
Well, and that's what fascinates me. I want to find places that people don't know about. There's been so many places through the years that have been used and then abandoned. You know, I think we diminish something in our history when we forget these places. And so that's my mission, is to resurrect knowledge of a lot of these places.
How do you go about documenting the sites?
Well, the first thing I always do when I get to them is I want to know their precise location. And of course, in this day and age with GPS, it's so easy. I have a little handheld GPS unit and I use it in what they call averaging mode so I can get as accurate a coordinate as possible. I really want to be precise. And so I try to get down to about 2 meters or about 6 feet of accuracy to the actual location. So I get that. Then I get various photographs. At any given place, I may take 20, 30, 40, sometimes over 100 photographs of a site. If there's a building, for example, I'll walk all the way around it, get a picture from all angles. If the building looks like it's accessible, like some buildings, of course, are locked up, in which case, of course, that's all I can get is an exterior picture. But if it's open, and a lot of these buildings, of course, are just open to the elements, then I venture inside. I often, of course, tread gingerly because the floors are sometimes a little bit shaky. And I take aerial photographs. I have a drone that I can send up and get pictures from above the building site. You can get information from the air that you might not be able to see from the ground.
Well, you see patterns from the air that you can't see on the ground, right?
Precisely. Yeah. You can see, for example, the foundation of a building that may be long gone. I mean, there may not be nothing left except the foundation may even be overgrown. But because the grass may be a little bit different color or a little bit of different texture, you can sometimes see things that you say you wouldn't have been able to see normally. Hmm. And then I do notes. Various bits of information, like if there's a monument, I'll transcribe the text on the monument. Sometimes they'll have a little cairn where they'll have a little book, you know, a little guest book, and sometimes they'll have sheets of information, so I'll make copies of all of those. Measurements of buildings sometimes, if I want to get a sense of how large the building is, I'll get out my tape measure and I'll measure it. You know, the idea is I'm working on the assumption that many of these sites will be gone before I get there again. And therefore, my feeling is this is my only opportunity to document them. Mm. And you know, this may be information that's lost permanently if I don't record it. So in the course of the last few years, I have taken over 14,000 photographs.
You have a full-time job. How do you find the time to do this? This is volunteer work for you, right?
It is. Of course, I have evenings. I have weekends. I do have holidays, and I use those as productively as I can.
Gordon, it's great to talk. You're going to come back next week, and we'll talk a bit about how you find the information that you do about these abandoned sites, right?
Yes.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much, Gordon.
You're welcome,
Terry. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.